So just who is sitting currently, even at this double-digit lead-in to the last day, who's sitting in the Oval Office right now? Do we know? And you may think, well, at this point, it doesn't matter. That seems to be the stock answer to everything, right? It doesn't matter anymore. Oh, we're well beyond that. Those aren't the talking points. You know, I'm sorry. We create our own talking points right here on the Hagman and Hagman Report. HagmanReport.com is our news website. HagmanandHagman.com is our show website. Yeah, it does matter, and it still matters because the cabal of criminals and criminality continues to exist inside the Beltway. You've got Clinton, who is really an outgrowth. Well, she preceded, and Bill preceded, the Obama criminal cabal, but Obama is definitely a foot soldier within that organized crime family. And Susan Daniels, you might remember this. Oh, remember that back in 2009 when it was discovered that Obama, and I'm talking about Barack Hussein Obama, had been using a Social Security number with a prefix indicating that it was actually from the state of Connecticut. You remember that? This woman on the phone right now that we're interviewing, Susan Daniels, she was the one, and her investigation was the one that broke this information. After watching the debate last night, I got to thinking of when I met Susan Daniels, and I got to think, and we talked too for a while, and she was telling me about all of the investigations that she had done into Obama, and I got to thinking about this, the Clinton factor, and how Hillary and Bill Clinton really were a big part of this and are a big part of this. And I was thinking about how this all began back in 08 and 09 about the identity issue. And now the birther issue came up, of course, in the debates. And it was totally misrepresented in the debates. But folks, Americans, at least perhaps a minority of Americans, but a large minority, they're getting ready to vote for Clinton, Hillary Clinton. Why? Well, she's the first woman to run for and secure the major party's nomination for the presidency. Oh, history is being made. And of course, Obama said, you know, I would consider it a personal insult if you didn't vote for Hillary. You know, it's almost like the fix is in, but the extension of this is, of course, the extension of the criminality of Obama and of Clinton. It's kind of an incestuous relationship between Clinton and Obama. But you have to go back to the source. Like, for example, like a serial killer. When you investigate a serial killer, what do you look at once the serial killing spree has been identified? You look at the first kill to understand everything that happened subsequent to that first kill. That kind of sets the tone, tenor, and stage for your investigation. So you go back to, in this case, you go back to that time period, 08-09, with respect to Obama's registration, Selective Service registration, for example, and Social Security number. And again, Susan Daniels is the individual who uncovered this and brought it to the media. And you're going to see all kinds of people just say, oh, no, I did this and I did. No. I can tell you right now, contemporaneous to the investigation, to her investigation, following her and seeing how this unfolded, she was the one that really brought this forth. In fact, she was the one that took the fire, incoming missiles, in numerous ways. She suffered the brunt of the harassment, the threats. Oh my goodness, you should just wait. But I mean, she was the one. So we bring on the most, in my view anyway, the most educated, the most experienced individual about the issues, and Susan Daniels is that person. Before we get to Susan, I want to mention, of course, I spoke earlier about HelloFresh. You know, HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Let me ask you something. Do you have time to cook meals or to go shopping and then cook meals? You're busy. We understand that. Well, HelloFresh is the answer it's our answer at our household, because we are on the go all of the time. HelloFresh is it's a meal delivery kit that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week what they do is they create this new delicious set of recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to it takes about a half hour to cook, to prepare. And that includes whether you're a novice or you're an experienced chef. It only takes about 30 minutes. HelloFresh, they source the freshest ingredients. They measure everything out. I mean, right to the morsel, you know, and they give it to you in packages, small packages. They employ full-time registered dietitians on staff who they review each recipe to make sure it's nutritionally balanced, and they send it out to you. So you and I can have the benefit of just a wholesome, nutritionally balanced, great, delicious meal during the week. It takes about 30 minutes to prepare. Without even having to go to the grocery store. That's HelloFresh. If you go to HagmanReport.com or HagmanHagman.com, click on the link to HelloFresh. And folks, we got a deal for you. They set up a deal for the Hagman and Hagman listeners, the fine folks at HelloFresh. They've set up this deal for us right now. If you act right now, you've got to act right now. $35 off your first week of deliveries. If you visit HelloFresh.com and you enter our coupon code, that's CFP Radio. So get $35 off your first week of deliveries. Visit HelloFresh.com and enter CFP Radio. That's HelloFresh.com and enter CFP Radio. I've got to tell you, my wife loves this. Our studio dog loves this lady. When she sees this refrigerated box on our porch, it's a self-insulated refrigerated kind of box. She loves it because I believe this. She can either smell what's in the box or senses that, hey, we're going to be eating good this week. I get the leftovers. It's funny to watch her. HelloFresh.com. The coupon code is CFP Radio. And folks, change the way you eat. In fact, HelloFresh is changing the way people are eating forever. And everyone deserves honest, natural, delicious, healthy food. You can get it through HelloFresh.com and $35 off with CFP Radio coupon code. Let's go. I think I gave Susan Daniels a proper introduction. Let's bring her on and let's talk to Susan Daniels, PI out of Ohio, Chardon, Ohio. Susan, thanks for joining me tonight.
Hi, Doug. Thank you so much for inviting me on, and thank you for the huge buildup. I mean, I'm so honored that you would say so nice.
It's true, though. See, it's true. I remember back in 08 and 09 when this whole thing broke about his social security number. You were the investigator behind it, and I was really proud because geographically we're only an hour away from one another.
Roughly. Oh yeah, maybe an hour and a half. Yeah. Not too far.
And I was thinking, my goodness, this is great. Someone from our own neck of the woods breaking this story of national significance, and of course taking a lot of heat for it, but. And again, Susan Daniels, and folks, let me tell you something. Susan Daniels is a hardworking private investigator. She's open for business in Chardon, Ohio. She's got no website. You've got no website. You've got none. You just have no digital footprint.
No, I got a phone number. That's it.
So if you want, if you're looking for a hardworking investigator, Susan Daniels is the one. She doesn't mess around with social networking or websites or whatever. It's all hardworking. But Susan, just explain to our listeners what you did back in 08 that really changed the course of your life and others, and really kind of stoked up Obama and company.
Well, what bothered me was the minute that Obama took office, right away we need this enormous stimulus plan. And something about that rubbed me the wrong way. And they get all this money, and then immediately they need another plan with all this money. And it turns out that some of that money's never even been spent yet. And it made me start thinking about it, and I started talking to a couple of my friends about it, and they said, why don't you see what you can find on him? Now, I've been an investigator since the early 90s, and you know, I know how to do these things, but my response was, what am I going to find on him? He's already sworn into office. There will be nothing available on him. And what I did is I went to all these trusty databases that I can, you know, access because I am licensed. I've been licensed in Ohio for 23 years now, and started running his name. And all of a sudden, up pops this Connecticut Social Security number. Now, I've done Social Security numbers long enough. I've done thousands of them, and I instantly knew that it was fraudulent because I knew that I know the way the numbers break down, or they used to. And they've since changed it now that they assign them randomly ever since I started kicking up the dust. But at that time, they were still issued, and the numbers started with zeros on the East Coast. And by the time you got to Hawaii, the numbers started with 575 or 576, which his half-sister has one of those numbers. Well, when I saw his start with 042, I immediately knew something was wrong. And I also knew that I better start looking pretty quickly, because if the minute I said anything, everything would shut down. So I started running everything I could think of. If I found addresses for him, I ran them. If I found phone numbers for him, I ran them. Other people started to make me aware of things like the Selective Service number. And that's going to turn out, you know, eventually it's all going to come to fruition that I was right. And the mistake they made, the big mistake they made, is that they used the Connecticut Social Security number on his alleged application for Selective Service, which was supposed to have been done in 1980, and in fact was done in 2008. But it was supposed to have done in 1980, and it ends with the last four numbers of the Connecticut number. So the more I dug, the more I found. And then, somebody I knew in Florida sent me an affidavit he had done where he found the Obama's IRS filing for the year 2009, and there the number was. They had not flattened it. It was the same case of what they did with the birth certificate. They didn't do it the right way, and people were able to take it apart in layers. And there we have the Connecticut number.
Oh, you know? Man.
All right. I mean, it's just, it kept piling on itself so quickly. And I just, the more I found, the faster I worked, because I was afraid that I would get shut out and miss something. And then when I started talking about it and started telling it, you know, people about it, you know, most people paid no attention to me at all. But then there were the true believers who also started sending me information that they had found. And that's how I started to compile all the information that I used for that lawsuit that I filed.
Yes. And folks, I mean, Susan Daniels was the author, the originator of a lawsuit in this issue. Now, I just want to just kind of catch people up here. The Social Security number that Obama has been using was issued in late March 1977, if my facts are right here.
Right.
As were other numbers in close chronological proximity to that.
Hundreds of other numbers, all in order, yes.
All right.
It was either March 27th or 28th, 1977. And at that time when you were applying for a number, the number was assigned by your resident at your address of where you were living. And at that time, he did not start using that number until the mid 80s, but the number was assigned in 77 when he was 15 years old and in high school in Hawaii.
All right.
That's where people get confused, because they think that he started using it then. He did not. I didn't find him first using it until 86.
And that's an interesting delay. I mean, I understand to some extent, given his age, to some extent.
Well, think about it. By 86, he had allegedly gone through Occidental.
Right.
he had allegedly, and I use the term advisedly, allegedly gone to Colombia.
Right.
It would have been after that that he started using a different number.
Okay. Okay. And there's a distinction there. Okay. Now, so who, okay, so who does this number belong to? I just, again, I want to just firm this up with our listeners.
I have never been able to find out. I sent a FOIA request years ago to Social Security Administration, and if a person dies, there is no longer any expectation of privacy. So if somebody dies, like for instance, the person that had the number before his, he was a young guy that got his number when he was about 19 and died within a couple of years. I was able to get a copy of his entire file. You know, and
wow.
Same with somebody else who was about four numbers after that. But
okay.
I got a response that no, that number was in use, the one Obama was using. But one of the things that I found when I was doing all this research on Obama is I went to a site where you can verify Social Security numbers. When I entered the number, no name, just the number, it came up with his birthday in the European order, in the American order, and also it said the year 1890.
Right.
All right, which it became very interesting when I then ran a cell phone number that he used to have and came up with maybe four or five pages of addresses in Illinois and Massachusetts and even in Washington, D.C., and it would have his date of birth, but intermittently, as his date of birth, it would say 1890. My contention has always been that it was somebody that was born in 1890 that died, and he absconded with their Social Security number.
Probably
with the help of somebody like Bill Ayers or, since we see the, so many facets of the government now involved in this, it could have been anybody.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. And I also agree with something else. And folks, you're going to see the name Harrison Bonnell tossed around there.
And that's,
you know, that's just bogus.
That's a red herring. That's
right.
Because they've tried to attribute it to him. I did a great deal of research on that name. Somebody took a leap. They found a Harrison or a Harry Bonnell living in New York in 1940. That was the last census that's released. That's how long they hold them. And somebody took a leap and said, well, he was in New York in 1940, so that had to be him in 1977 in Connecticut. And it makes absolutely no sense. And then I found another Harry Bonnell in the 1840 census, but he had been born like 40 years before that. So, I mean, no, Harry Bonnell did not have this number.
Exactly.
I don't know who had it. I exhausted everything I could to find out, and to the extent that I had a woman volunteer, and bless her heart, a lot of death certificates, not all of them in Connecticut, and not all of them anywhere, they used to contain the Social Security number. Well, now the government is making it more and more difficult for people to find information.
Right.
So some of them have them on, some of them have them off. But a woman, without me asking, voluntarily went through about 5 or 6 years of death certificates. And she looked at 18,000 deaths in Connecticut trying to find that Social Security number.
Wow.
Because what I thought happened is that in 1977, when the number was assigned, that the person who had been born in 1890 that they were older, they probably needed medical care and could not get it without a Social Security number. And keep in mind, it was not mandatory originally for people to have a number.
That's right.
Yeah, it was certainly, my grandparents never had Social Security numbers. But if somebody needed help from the government, they would have had to have a number. And I think that it was assigned in 77. And so this woman looked from, I think, 77 all the way through 91 or 92, and then volunteered to start looking at all the other states around Connecticut. And I said, no,
wow.
you've done way more than I would have imagined, so please don't.
And you did all of this, just out of the goodness of your heart for the patriotic cause. And this is what you found. By the way, folks, I did the same thing. And where this originated from, what Susan Daniels is talking about, these are proprietary databases that you have to pay a fee to.
Right.
And you have to submit your license, your information.
Oh, yeah. You have to be insured. You have to be, I mean, you have to have everything.
I mean, I have the same thing being an investigator.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got it. Yeah, I mean, and if you misuse this, as remember Rebecca Schaefer back in the early 90s, she was that actress on,
I remember.
Yeah. And some PI out there, gave a perpetrator, a shooter, her home address by accessing one of these databases. So
right.
You got to be careful. You know,
somebody did that, remember, not too many, maybe 10 years ago in Pennsylvania.
Yes, yes.
The same thing happened.
That's right.
You have to be very careful with what you, not only what you do, but what you do with the information once you find it.
Exactly. So just to be clear, this is not some internet, fly-by-night thing.
People would not have access to what we have access to.
That's right.
And we only have it because we've been scrutinized so
much.
That's
right. That's right. So, okay, and now running forward here, in 2012,
yes.
July, what you had done, knowing that, so you assembled all of this information in 08, 09, I guess it was, but nobody did anything about this. No one gave a doggone. I mean, no one cared. So,
no.
Which is just remarkable to me, because we don't even know who the hell's in the Oval Office. So in 2012,
right.
In July, you said enough. Okay, here's another election year. I'm going to file a lawsuit to get a temporary injunction to prevent Obama's name from being placed on the state ballot.
On the Ohio ballot.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, I had been collecting information for at that point several years already. It took me, I think it was 3 months to organize the documents, because what I did is the lawsuit itself runs 18 pages. But hedging my bets, I thought, I'm going to include all my supplementary information, because if it gets thrown out, at least it'll be out there in the Internet forever. They won't be able to say, no, this lawsuit is meaningless. I put all my proof with the lawsuit and ended up filing it in July of 2012. But what I did is, and I don't know if a lot of your listeners know this, before I did that, there had been in excess of 130 lawsuits filed against Obama regarding his eligibility. Now, mine was the only one that had to do with the Social Security number, because everybody else had taken a different tack. But almost every one of those lawsuits was immediately thrown out, because the government claimed, and this is outrageous, that the people that filed it didn't have standing to file the lawsuit.
Yep.
So what I did to circumvent that is I applied for, as a write-in candidate for president, and I got the Ohio Secretary of State to certify me as a write-in candidate for president. And then I turned around and the day after I got the document from him certifying me, I used it as one of my documents in the lawsuit to sue him. So they could not throw my case out for standing, because
that's right.
I, Obama was not ahead above me. We were on the same level. We were both candidates.
It's an amazing thing that you had to do that to fight the standing ruling. You know, congratulations, by the way, that you were a write-in, candidate for president.
I actually got some votes.
Yeah, you did.
That's what's hilarious. Somebody told me that I got like 15 votes across the country.
Wow.
I know somebody in one of the mid-counties in Ohio must have written my name. And I mean, I didn't vote for me, but somebody in Ohio did.
That says something. I didn't vote for myself. But this is how we have to level the playing fields.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right. You know, we're up against we're getting close to the bottom of the hour here. So on the other side, I just want to get your thoughts about just where we're at and what you saw. I mean, all of us having the run-up to this next segment here, in the run-up to this, you had described, Obama's Social Security number. You know, it's fraudulent. And
oh, yeah.
My goodness, folks. The guy in the White House using a fraudulent Social Security number, and I contend, Susan, and I don't have any 100% proof on this, but I believe this was a CIA. I believe the CIA was somehow involved in this.
Oh, they absolutely were. How do you think he got into Harvard?
Well, true.
It was the CIA, Percy Sutton, and the Saudis paid the tuition.
And this is how, folks, this is why, I suppose, better stated, that the birther issue does matter. Folks, remember,
it's
right
huge.
Back. Stay right where you're at. Stay right where you're at. Talking with Susan Daniels. You know, she's a private investigator in Chardon, Ohio. It's a suburb of Cleveland. She doesn't have a website. No. Nope. Not a website. She's not looking for fame or fortune or anything. She's trying to get to the bottom and did an investigation about who Obama is, Barack Hussein Obama II. You would think, wouldn't you, that job would be the job of not just the political party, but the vetting process, part of the vetting process for a candidate. And if you think this is conspiracy nonsense, then you haven't been paying attention. Who in the hell's in the Oval Office and what is his agenda? I think we know that by his, the fruit of what he's done. He has bowed to a deep bow, nonetheless, to the Saudis. And he's basically sold out this country for foreign interests, exactly what the Constitution exactly why the Constitution put that so-called birther clause in, the pejorative term birther clause. And Susan Daniels is in my view, she's a great private investigator, well-experienced and has worked as a paralegal before. And I've met this woman. I've seen her investigative work product. And I see we bring to you the best. And Susan Daniels is one of the best. And that's my view. But I've seen her investigative work product and I would take and go to court with it. I certainly would. So, Susan, thanks for holding on and thanks for being with us tonight.
My pleasure.
You know, and folks, look, if you need PI services anywhere in Ohio, preferably around Cleveland, contact Susan Daniels. She's open for business. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never close.
it's interesting because the landscape out there in the investigative landscape is always treacherous. But so you're always looking for somebody you can trust, and Susan Daniels is one. But Susan, let's get back to Obama here. And I interrupted you too. You've got this Saudi or this CIA Manchurian candidate, Saudi plant, perhaps. I don't know. We don't know who this guy is. But doing a background check for Fortune 100 companies, as we've both done, you couldn't. Certify this guy for any position.
I have a friend who is retired from the Secret Service, and he said with his background he would not have been hired as a janitor. for the Secret Service.
There you go. Yeah, it's incredible. Yet we trust our entire government. We, the people, trust and figure that, you know, the vetting process was accomplished.
Before we go one step further, one thing people don't understand is the candidates are not vetted. They're vetted by only their own party. They're not vetted by anybody else, not anybody in the government, not by the opposing party, nothing. They vet their own candidates, which means they're not vetted at all.
Right. So, yeah. All right. This whole thing is just maddening. So when you watched the debate last night and you heard the birther issue brought up, I mean, that was terribly misrepresented within that the framework of that debate.
Right.
And people don't get
it. And I think what Trump was saying is that we have bigger fish to fry right now. It's not an issue.
Okay.
We don't know where he came from. We really don't know. I've never thought that he was born in Kenya, to be perfectly honest. But I do know that he was not born in Hawaii. And the reason I know that is because I have close relatives that have lived in Hawaii for 35 years. There are only two hospitals when he was born where he could have been born, both of them on Oahu, and neither hospital will claim him.
Something for a president to you know.
Wouldn't you think a plaque, something?
Yeah, you would think, but of course that's not the case. For those people who say, well, he had to be born in Hawaii because of the newspaper announcement, so they reflect that.
You know, what people don't understand is Hawaii is not at all like any of the rest of the states. They just, I mean, they even have what they call Hawaii time, which means nobody shows up ever until an hour and a half after they're supposed to. Things are done differently there. People have babies, and the grandmother could have gone and registered him at one of their satellite offices.
Right.
It's not like it is here.
It's not. And just because the announcements appear in the paper doesn't mean that there was any advance conspiracy with that. No, it's just lax reporting rules.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. All right.
No, he should, and I believe at one time he did have a Hawaiian social security number. But I think that when John Brennan was overseeing things, now he's the head of the CIA or whatever now,
right.
But
yep.
At what point he was overseeing the passport office, and all of a sudden all of the information, passport information for Obama and his mother disappeared. And it was for the 5 year period from like 60 to 64, 65. We don't know where either one of them were, but I'm pretty sure that Obama is using his second passport with the second set of social security numbers.
You know, you mentioned John Brennan, and John Brennan, his name comes up in so many things. But go ahead.
Well, he's a terrible man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he's also a converted Muslim.
There you go. That's right. And people don't,
don't know that.
He's head of the CIA. Now, he doesn't admit that, but he attended the Hajj. Went on the Hajj. Yeah.
Well, you know, keep in mind that Bush Sr. was head of the CIA also.
Right. So where are we at? I mean, you saw the debate.
We're in deep trouble is where we're at, because the entire government is corrupt. You know, I mean, I don't know how you start to get rid of them all. We can see people blindly following, you know, Hillary Clinton, and the question that comes to my mind is that I just can't climb over is, how does a woman who had no regard for four men who were under siege in Benghazi then lie to their parents over their dead bodies?
Oh, man.
Who does something like that?
Exactly. And that's not the last time or the first time. I mean,
and no.
we saw that with the SEAL Team 6.
Yes. I mean, Joe Biden comes out and announces SEAL Team 6.
Yes.
You know, you never tell anybody who has done what, because look how many of them got killed then. And other SEALs.
Right.
And
Extortion
17. And that helicopter crash.
Yep, Extortion 17. We talked to Charles Strange, the Gold Star father of Michael Strange and head of the Michael Strange Foundation. We had him on, and we talked with him. And people need to understand the SEAL Team 6, the Extortion 17 flight, the helicopter. That was a setup. I mean,
It was. It didn't even have any Blackhawks to guard it.
Right. Right.
And it was an old helicopter that should not have been used, and there should not have been that many SEALs on it at one time.
Exactly. And Bart the dog even perished in that. Susan, all of this, I mean, your experience, your investigative work to provide the investigative product to the American people, slumbering public, no less, but... the debate last night, Hillary Clinton, you saw her performance.
Right.
You know, by the way, as an investigator, you sent me that image. I think we might have that image of Hillary Clinton.
Was pretty interesting, wasn't it?
Well, yeah.
Were you going to see the wire up the back?
Yeah, and that brick-like thing in her back. I mean...
Yeah. And somebody said, well, maybe that was just a backup in case the mics failed on the podium. But I didn't see anything like that on Trump.
No, and that's one hell of a backup. I mean, sorry.
Yeah.
But man, are you kidding? I mean, in today's society. Oh, wait, Eric, the tech might have something here. This is what? Okay, so what is the? Oh, this is a USB cable. Sorry, what are you telling me with this, Eric? Okay. Yeah. All right. So Susan, what I'm holding here, and folks at home, I mean, this is a USB cable that goes to a smartphone kind of device. But man, that's a heck of an impression there in her on her clothes. And you'd think in 2016 you would have something a lot less formidable there.
Oh, she had that pearl bud in her ear a week or two ago.
Yes.
Picture of.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing honest about the woman. I mean, she is our Eva Perón.
There you go. And we're being gamed every day.
Every day.
He wants his cord back. I got to give him the cord back. Okay. Yeah, we're being gamed. We are being gamed. So, okay. What do you see happening here? And you're a level-headed woman. You are spot on as far as I'm concerned with your investigative findings.
Thank you. I am hoping that the Donald Trump, and he seems to be able to, I mean, he brings out these enormous crowds.
Right.
I'm hoping that when in November that he gets so many votes that they cannot fraudulently give her the votes from the Electoral College. You know, we have to worry about the voter fraud. Because that's all we have seen forever. We just didn't stop to think about it.
No, I agree.
If Donald Trump doesn't get in, everybody just ought to pack up everything and figure out what they're going to do with their lives, because the country is in a mess now, in a downward spiral, and Hillary Clinton will finish the job that Barack Obama has done. We will never have another Republican president if Trump does not get in, because they will load up the country with illegals that they then give the right to vote, and we will never again have enough Republican votes to put anybody in office. So when people start talking about, well, in 2020, I want to laugh because there won't be a 2020.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. Can one man, I know that, Trump, I'm holding, I'm praying that Trump can make a difference, but I guess that's my question. Can one man make that much of a difference in today's environment?
He can make a start. You know what? What he has done is really so amazing, because he came from nowhere. You know, everybody thought it was a joke because he was one of 17. And they to tell you the truth, I don't think he was a serious candidate to start with. But what I think happened is that everybody turned on him so quickly. You know, like Macy's dropped his line of clothing, and other people, politicians, started attacking him. And I think it dawned on him. He said, "Wait a minute, I'm a billionaire. Why I'm one of them? Why are they doing this to me?" And then I think it dawned on him, if they're doing this to me, what are they doing to the rest of the country? And I think that at that point he said, "That's it. I'm doing this." Because he did not need this. He's got all the money. He's got all the everything he ever needs.
That's right. Yeah.
Makes me think he's so honest.
Well, yeah. It's hard to tell what's in a man's heart or a woman's heart,
right,
except by their actions. So it's difficult at this point. However, what's the alternative? I mean, Hillary, we know what's come with her.
We know what she'll do. We've seen what she's capable of. You know, and I thought this interesting. I read this late this afternoon. You know, Trump said, you know, when she started on him last night about insulting women and stuff, he held back. You know, I could see that he wanted to say something about Bill and his behavior and her enabling his behavior all these years. You know, that the man is a rapist. There's nobody that can't argue that point. But he said toward the end of the thing, you know, there's something I would say, but I'm just not going to. Well, today he said, I was going to say something about Bill. He said, but Chelsea was there, and I didn't want to do it. And you know what Hillary's response was? Let him bring it on.
Okay.
He's trying to protect her daughter, and she isn't.
You know, it almost makes me not have any compassion or empathy for Hillary when she says that. Bring it on.
I have none. I have none. When you lie to parents about the death of their sons. That ends it for me. You will never. I mean, when people say, "I don't wish her," "I don't wish her ill." I wish her ill.
Well, you know, and we come from the same cloth in terms of experience,
right.
I think, you know, and you see so much, and you see all of this this crap out there. Sorry, but I mean,
that's the only word for it.
The dregs of humanity at times, you go to the prisons, to interview people, and people don't
see some bad things.
Yeah, I mean, people don't understand.
No,
what's in these prisons? What's out there on the streets? Even Susan, I've gotten probably 10 emails about this since you've been on, people wanting me to ask you all across the country to ask you about the Clinton Foundation and about Clinton's emails. What are your thoughts? Have you investigated anything with respect to Hillary at all?
No, I really haven't. I mean, I read everything that I can. I mean, I did see a documentary the other night, though, and it made me sick because the Clintons took over the money that was supposed to help after the earthquake at Haiti. And they stole the money. I mean, it included $140 million that was supposed to be for a hospital that was destroyed and rebuilt. It's never been rebuilt. You know, they gave money to a company in the northern part of Haiti that was not even affected by the earthquake.
Right.
I mean, they're horrible people. They are the dregs of humanity. I have never done anything with her other than what I'm reading, you know, but people need to read. I mean, these stories are not, like, thrilling to read, but you need to read them so you understand what's going on.
Exactly. And the other part of that question is, what about the emails? What are your thoughts on the emails with Comey, you know, taking that position that he did
at
the FBI?
Well, when I read that Comey used to work for the Clinton Foundation, I was stunned. And then when I read that his brother does the Clintons' taxes, I bought the story when he first took office that he was a stand-up guy. He's not. He's as corrupt as the rest of them.
Yeah, I agree.
He had no intention. Especially when it turns out that Obama says, well, he didn't know about her server until he read it in the news. And now it comes out yesterday that he was emailing her with a pseudonym.
Right, exactly. And I kind of wonder what that fake internet name or the email name was. I could think of a few, but
The only thing that disappointed me last night is when Trump said, and it makes me laugh about the tax returns, because I'd like to see the Clinton Foundation tax returns. But Trump says, well, you know, I'll turn them over when you give me the emails, I would have preferred if he would have said, I'll turn them over when you give me your medical reports.
There you go. Yeah, well, you've seen a lot, and we've both, in our experience, we've dealt with a lot of claimants and illnesses and such. What do you think is right? What's your gut telling you about Hillary, her medical?
Oh, she's really sick. I don't know what they did to her yesterday. I really don't know how they managed to get her standing up for that long. But if you noticed, her eye, she was blinking like crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed that.
I did.
Especially the last half hour. I think her health is terrible. I think she has no business even running for the office. And were she to be elected, and I don't think she'd be president very long. Let's just put it that way.
I agree with that. I think that she's seriously ill. I think that they're hiding things. And you know, if you notice the letter, folks, I mean, she did not release her medical records, at least not the pertinent ones. You know,
well,
it's all a show.
I don't know if you saw the video, but of her getting in the car, but somebody had clarified it and lightened up the colors and things so you could see better what was going on. And it's much worse than it actually looked like. I mean, her feet were turned upside down. She was literally thrown into that, into that SUV.
Yeah, face slammed into that. You have to wonder. It didn't appear that she was conscious at all.
No.
And that's, yeah. So all of this, I mean, we are, again, the lies are so blatant and so conspicuous. They don't care
anymore. They don't care that we know.
That's right. You're exactly right. Oh, the other thing, too, I wanted to bring up with you. Chelsea's apartment, and we keep getting information about this. There's a medical company whose address is the same as Chelsea's apartment. Did you see any of that?
Well, what I saw is that Chelsea is supposed to have the entire fourth floor of that building. That her condo, that $10 million condo, was the entire floor. And that they converted a room into, like, essentially, like a medical, I wouldn't say operating room, but something similar.
Right. Right. And so when she goes to that her apartment,
well,
it's very possible.
I asked somebody, I said, why was she not immediately taken to the hospital? And I was told that whoever the Secret Service agent in charge, they make the call. They just, if it's not life threatening, then the person can decide where they want to go. And
so they knew the drill. They knew the drill.
Of course they did. And I'd like to know who that guy is. He is not a Secret Service agent. The black guy who walks around with the equivalent of an EpiPen.
Right. Right. Well, he's got to be cleared by the Secret Service or have Secret Service clearance. But you're saying, now, what makes you say he's not a Secret Service agent? Because I've heard that.
I just know he's not.
Okay.
And,
all right.
And in addition to which, the Secret Service agents don't touch their protectees. At that one point, remember when she went off like into a mini seizure, and he walked up to her and put his arm around her and said, "It's okay, just keep going."
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
No, that's not how a Secret Service agent behaves. Their job is to protect them, not to coddle them. I don't believe for a minute that he's a Secret Service agent.
No, I tend to agree with you on that. I don't have any proof of that, but
I don't either. Just a, it's just instinct.
No, I agree. Well, Susan, I thank you so much for being for coming on tonight. I know it was short notice, and the debate really triggered me. It made me think of you and your work that you've done about Obama, and I think we ought to commission you. Let's commission her to get some work done on Hillary.
I appreciate so much you even wanting me to be on, because I have not given up on this, but I do get discouraged, and I feel less discouraged now after having a chance to talk about it.
Well, that's great. And we really have to put up a formidable fight. I mean, we're not going down without a fight, folks.
And
Susan, you are, your investigative work product is absolutely incredible. And I want to thank you so much for everything you do. And we're going to be talking, because we're going to get the team together, investigative team together, and we're going to out these people to the best of our ability.
Count me in.
All right.
Absolutely.
All
count right. me in.
All right, Susan, thank you so much. And by the way, if people want to get in touch with you, they can do that. Susan Daniels and Associates in Chardon, Ohio. Your email is SusanDanielsPI@AOL.com, correct?
Correct.
Okay. That's SusanDanielsPI@AOL.com. All right. God bless you, kiddo. Thank you so much. We'll be talking soon.
Thank you so much, Doug. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
All right. Folks, that was Susan Daniels. Susan Daniels, she's a private investigator. Again, the backdrop on this, she's the one that gave everybody the information about Obama's Social Security number, the original person, not an imitator, the original person. And the investigative work that she did. We didn't talk about what she went through, the harassment that she went through. You think that this came at no cost? Oh, no. No, 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 no. She's still alive, breathing, but everyone pays up for her. She's paid a price for her good work. And just understand that when you get into this area of investigation, you start poking at the bear. Yeah, the bear's going to take a swipe, and that bear's got some claws. But we have to still be in the fight. We have to still fight. And I truly believe that it's going to be you and I. It's going to be Susan Daniels. It's going to be us who make the difference in this, because we cannot give this to the FBI. We can't give this to the Department of Justice or the Attorney General or the Inspector General. Where do you go? You take it to the American people, and you show, you prove, you take it to the court of public opinion. And I know people will say, look, you can have Hillary on video sacrificing a puppy and it's not going to change people's minds. But, I think if enough evidence is submitted, the totality of evidence will change the hearts and minds of people. And besides, you're going to stop trying? No. We've been commanded to occupy until we no longer can, or until the time is over. Stan Dale coming up next. Stay right where you're at.